Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Well, we're finding ourselves in an uncovered series on prayer, new beginnings in prayer, and how well Luke did last week to open our conversation discussing the mysteries of prayer. And prayer certainly continues, I think, for all of us to be thought of as a mystery. Certainly for Johnny, and let me read a story. A very bright 5-year-old told his daddy he'd like to have a baby brother, and along with his request, offered to do whatever he could do to help. And his dad, a very bright 35-year-old, paused for a moment and then replied, "I tell you what, Johnny, if you pray every day for 2 months for a baby brother, I guarantee that God will give you one." There you go. Johnny responded eagerly to his dad's challenge and went to his bedroom early that night to start praying for a baby brother. Well, he prayed every night for a whole month. But after that time, he began to get skeptical. He checked around the neighborhood and found out that what he thought was going to happen had never occurred in the history of the neighborhood. You just don't pray for 2 months and then whammo, a new baby brother. So Johnny quit praying. After another month, Johnny's mother went to the hospital. When she came back home, Johnny's parents called him into the bedroom. He cautiously walked into the room, not expecting to find anything, and there was a little bundle lying right next to his mother. His dad pulled back the blanket, and there was not one baby brother, but two. His mother had twins. Johnny's dad looked down at him and said, "Now, aren't you glad you prayed?" To which Johnny replied, "Well, aren't you glad I stopped praying?" That's good, hey? Prayer, certainly a mystery, a big mystery for 5-year-olds and 35 and 75-year-olds. Prayer for most people is a mystery and a challenge, right? Let's be honest. As Luke was reminding us last week, we know what matters, but we're really not sure how much. We suspect perhaps that we know a little about prayer, but certainly would be hesitant to stand and share formulas because of the mystery that seems to follow us when we talk about prayer. We know that perhaps we interact with God through prayer, but maybe not always in the way that we expect, and certainly not viewing the various results that happen from our prayers for all kinds of different reasons. So in this short series in Luke chapter 2, we're looking on the other side of Christmas, season of Epiphany, and we're considering two people, Simeon and Anna, and we're looking into their lives and viewing them to be actually some pretty good role models when it comes to new beginnings in prayer. But I would like, as we begin today, to speak of some myths, common myths, that perhaps accompany us as we pray. I think it's important for us to remind ourselves that when we pray, we're not appeasing God. We're not meeting God's need when we pray. For if that would be the case, then we would be of a mind to think that there's times that God is with, and there are times that God's without. And that balance is handed over to us to somehow try to meet a divine need, and that we're going to certainly fall short if that be the case. I think it's important to say, too, when we pray, we don't become His favorite child. And when we don't pray, we don't become the forgotten child. God doesn't just think of us when we pray or call out to Him. For God, the Bible says, God's thoughts are fixed upon us. God's plans move along. And God is not this online, offline type of friend. God's all in. And His love for you and I is unconditional, omnipresent, and He's all powerful with or without the assistance of our prayers. I think perhaps in some ways, as we walk through this short series, I think perhaps prayer could be thought of as that which gives us a gift, an invitation given to us to practice, to enjoy, and to benefit from. And certainly as we look over the course of history of people, certainly those who have practiced prayer have certainly benefited and found perhaps their relationship strengthened with their God. So today, just simply, very simply stated, what is the purpose of prayer? Let me share four ideas with you today. Prayer helps us remember God. Prayer helps us remember God. Certainly in the case of us studying the Old Testament, in the case of observing the nation of Israel and how God set that up, we see that within the religious system that God set up for the Israelites, He put in place all kinds of religious practices so that men and women would get it right, who God is, and because of that, discover who they are. And so we see all through the Old Testament, priests and prophets and situations and circumstances that were allowed to happen, and all in ways that were reminding people to remember God. It happens when you have people into your home, a variety of guests in your home, and you're having a good time together, and just before perhaps a meal is served, you just stop for a moment, and you pray to give thanks to God. What are we actually doing? We're remembering God. We have these opportunities and these ways in which we can very practically, and certainly the Old Testament is full of a religious system that actually practically helped God's people remember. And it wasn't always the case. When you see in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah 51, again, these major prophets speaking to people, hey, you've forgotten the Lord your God, Jeremiah 3. You've chosen crooked paths and you have forgotten the Lord. And Ezekiel, hey people, you have forgotten me and turned your back on me, referring to the relationship with God. So as we live on the other side of the religious order of the Old Testament, we would be wise to put in place within our lives mechanisms, practices, perhaps habits, traditions that call you and call those around you to just, in wonderful ways, remember. Remember God. And prayer perhaps could be thought of as one of the most important and necessary practices to doing that. Just simply remembering God. For every time we pray, we are saying our lives are not in our hands. And prayer most naturally calls us out of our obsession and confidence with ourselves by helping us remember who God is and thus who we are. How interesting that Jesus very intentionally taught, when asked, Lord, teach us to pray, the first few lines of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father in heaven, which art in heaven, Our Father in heaven, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I think we can all see the very practical benefits of repeating a prayer like that a number of times a day, right? Remembering God. Our God is in heaven. Glory be to that good name and that good person. Because friends, I think we are at our best. And I've written this on purpose. I think that you and I are at our best when we are remembering God. We're at our best when we are remembering God, thankful, worshiping, admitting, confessing. And in so doing, we're actually saying to God, you know what? I was never meant to be in charge of my life. I remember that. I remember you. Prayer leads us, secondly, to good places of personal humility. One of the purposes of prayer is to call us back to a good, humble place. As Luke said last week, prayer involves placing our lives and needs in the trusted hands of a loving God, in the hands of someone we can trust even more than we can trust ourselves. Humility. We see all through the Old and New Testament, and it'd be a really good word study for all of us to take the word humble or humility and just do a word study through the Bible of how important humility is for a child of God. There are exhortations and prayers and appeals that scriptures make not to place false humility upon ourselves, but actually take a position of humility in the presence of God. Certainly Chronicles 7, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. James 4, so humble yourselves before God. 1 Peter 5, so humble yourself under the mighty power of God. It's not a place we go to naturally. But I think prayer and personal humility are interwoven. And they lead directly to each other. Prayer and humility will always lead directly to each other. So there's a good chance, and again, not to be observers of man, but perhaps observers of fruit, there's a good chance that the people around you, that you would appreciate their humility that you observe, there's a good chance that they perhaps are people that remember God and pray. Because humility is not natural. Humility comes, I think, from a healthy, proper, growing, intimate relationship with a loving Heavenly Father. So this raises a question. If humility is such an important quality characteristic that God has on His mind for His followers, it raises a question. Are we to see that our Heavenly Father is someone trying to keep us in line? Or keep us in control, or keep wanting to push us down and out of the way so that He can be lifted up and us not. I don't think at all that's the heart of humility that God would have for us. I think we need to see clearly that God does not push us down, but rather attempts to lift us up. As a child, as His own, in His hand, lifting us to a healthy place of belonging with good interest and His good intent for our lives, ultimately lifting us to an undeserved place of earthly and eternal security and blessing. I think someone who perhaps doesn't pray may be in danger of thinking too highly of themselves. So prayer is remembering God, and prayer leads us to a healthy place of personal humility. Because prayer requires us to slow down, to bow down, to admit things, to confess things, to offer things. And ultimately, in the interplay of all those four things, it actually does take us to a place of healthy humility. And that possibly and potentially will look different for all of us. But I do think, as a growing community, we would do well to expect that we would walk with humility. There's two ways to find humility. By bowing down of our own will, or getting knocked down because of someone else's will. That's why Matthew warns, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So we watch in the Old Testament Israel, who had a hard time with remembering and with humility. Study it. Some of you, that would be new study, and I encourage you to engage some of those old stories. And we do see a common pattern because of those two challenges of remembering humility. So often, Israel would come up against an obstacle or a crisis or a critical life-threatening need, and it would only be at that time that they would humble themselves and return to God. And in their case, there was so much unnecessary pain, loss, and disappointment. You see, humility can be a choice, or humility can be a consequence. So that's why the Bible calls us to choose in our own doing, to walk with humility as we remember God. Thirdly, prayer gives us hope. Prayer gives us hope. In Luke chapter 2, we are, again, as we have been introduced to, we see a man named Simeon who was eagerly waiting on the Messiah to come. And as Luke highlighted last week, in Luke chapter 2, when we catch up to Simeon, we catch up to a good time in his life. For in Luke chapter 2, what he had waited for all of his life in the desire, in the envisioning of welcoming a Messiah, we see all that coming together, that convergence of that. For in seeing the baby Jesus in Luke chapter 2, Simeon, the child that Simeon had waited for his whole life to come, for this whole thing to come to pass, all of his life, we would see, as we study Simeon's life, his whole life was one that required of him to wait on God. His whole life. And Simeon, when we catch up to him in Luke chapter 2, was an elderly man. And it said all the days of his life, he was waiting for that moment of beautiful epiphany as he was able to hold what he had been waiting for. So basically, and perhaps stating it in another way, Simeon lived the best portion of his life waiting with unanswered prayers. And he was recognized as someone doing that in a way that was described as eagerly waiting. Two words very interestingly brought together. You can wait, and you can eagerly wait. And to do that over the course of your life certainly credited him for the words of righteous and devout. But Simeon lived the best portion of his life waiting with unanswered prayers. And perhaps there are you in this room today who have lived a good portion of your life carrying the concerns of unanswered prayers. Living in real time, carrying the real concerns of unanswered prayers, perhaps the need of a loved one, a health issue, prayers for a local church or community, matters related to a career, or perhaps other important things someone has on their mind. How do we carry well unanswered prayers? What do we do while we wait? What do we do while we wait on God? Well, prayer gives us something to do while we wait. Prayer gives us something while we wait with unanswered prayers, in the sense that prayer, persistent prayer, gives us hope every time. God gives us something to do with our discouragement, when we experience anxiety and patient disappointment and frustration as we look ahead. Prayer is a gift that allows us to take all of our life concerns to someone rather than having us to carry those concerns ourselves. In the midst of that transfer of concern and transfer of burden, we leave it there and then we pick up hope in its place. That is what some experience and some don't, for all kinds of different reasons. But true prayer, consistent prayer, certainly when we are walking with unanswered prayers, We need to pray through to a point of laying and receiving. And what we receive in our hearts from that special someone is hope. Praying through till you receive the gift of hope. Psalm 42 says, "Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. But each day the Lord pours His unfailing love upon me. And through each night I sing His songs, praying to God who gives me life." See, hope allows us to eagerly wait rather than be annoyed. Eagerly waiting rather than worried. Eagerly waiting because of increased faith that comes from hope. 1 Thessalonians, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. See, prayer gives us something to do when we are eagerly waiting on God. So prayer cannot be compartmentalized in regard to time and totality. Prayer moves God into the center of things. So because of that, we are able to say, I pray at all times. Because I'm always trying to move God into the center. And prayer helps us do that because prayer keeps our eyes on God and off of ourselves. And when we're discouraged, this can be such a good thing. Simeon says, "I have seen your salvation. I have seen it, which you have prepared for all people." So again, this is the epiphany of holding the Christ child, being able to see. And as we've noted, this word "see" is the same word that the angel spoke to the shepherds about "find." It's the same word. It has past and present tenses. The present tense, Simeon's prayer, is one of receiving this child as one who met his need. This child was what he needed. So prayer involves receiving things that are not necessarily in this world but come from above. It involves experience. So when Simeon was holding Jesus, he experienced Jesus. Prayer involves experience. Experiencing our God personally. And finally, this word "seen." I have seen this child. It involves a new perspective on the future. Seeing that the future is going to look different than the past. I have seen your salvation. Prayer involves seeing the future with renewed hope all day and every day, even to the point of eagerly waiting on God with unanswered prayers. And finally, prayer opens us to the supernatural. The last part of Simeon's prophetic word was saying of this Christ child that he was holding, "For he is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel." So here during this prophetic word, Simeon refers to the ministry of Christ as light. It's a metaphor. And it's a good one. For light illuminates. So in the same way, prayer reveals, prayer uncovers, prayer illuminates at just the right time. Prayer aligns us with God's perfect illumination or perfect timing, for our God is always on time. God is always on time. God is always on His time. And that's where the problem is, right? God is on His time. Prayer can not only give us hope, but can bring revelation and clarity about things because prayer is light revealing. Revealing what? It's a light that reveals God in our midst, God in our world, that includes His supernatural interventions, interruptions, healings, and involvement. Prayer will often illuminate the truth of how God is able to keep and how God is wanting to help. Friends, for the miracles of God did not end in the New Testament. They didn't. God is able and willing to work supernaturally and miraculously today. Amen. And prayer opens us to the supernatural. Perhaps you're here today and you can testify to that. If we were to do the roving mic thing, you would be able to say, yeah, I am able to testify to a time when I prayed that and God answered directly in that way, and I would call that a miracle. Miracles didn't end in the Old Testament. Miracles didn't end in the early 1900s. Psalm 65 says, "For you answer our prayers." And Psalm 120 says, "I took my troubles to the Lord and I cried out to Him and He answered my prayer." See, prayer gives us someone to talk to when we're sick in need or when we need help because we're at the end of ourselves, someone who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or imagine. I'm going to invite our worship team to join the platform. See, the invitation of prayer, the invitation of prayer is to receive something from someone that we can only receive when we pray. The invitation of prayer is to receive something from someone that we can only receive when we pray. And friends, we can receive this morning. We can receive this morning. We can receive today. And in just a moment, we're going to stand and sing. And I want to encourage you as we sing today to ask largely of your God, because some of you have needs today. Reach out towards the good ministry of a comforter, a caregiver, a revealer, someone who understands, a healer, a deliverer, a teacher, and a helper. I've placed on the screen a few questions for your consideration. Certainly, our format of our community life is to take what we share together, and we believe in the good practice of revisiting the conversation, whether it's alone or as families, or certainly in our life groups that go on during the week. These questions here can help us move further along in our conversation. So the questions I would leave for you today is prayer a priority for you? And second question would be, has God ever answered a prayer that you offered? And 3 and 4, what will this year look like if prayer becomes less of a priority? And what will this year look like if prayer becomes more of a priority? So this morning, this afternoon, tonight, and tomorrow, I want to encourage us to make more room for God. No more status quo. No more same old, same old. Season of Epiphany is to say, let's move over. Let's move things around so there's more room for God so that we can be more attentive. I want to invite you to stand, and our worship team is going to lead us today. And as we do, I want to encourage you to remember God, to humble ourselves, to receive hope, and to open our hearts and our minds to this supernatural. Reuben is going to come in a few minutes and close our service in prayer, but let's use these times to our complete benefit.
Lord, today we just ask you to help us to continue to prioritize prayer in our lives, God. Lord, we pray that we can continue to do that on a regular basis in our everyday so that we can remember you, God, so that we can be reminded of the hope that comes from prayer. Lord, help us to make prayer something that we do so regularly that we cannot help but trust you in every situation, God, that it will humble us to be reminded that you are in control. And that as we pray and as we ask you for things, God, that we will be a people who will believe for big things, who will believe that you can come through on the things that we ask you for, that you can come and intervene in the situations that we feel stuck in. God, that we can be a people that will believe that you will come in power. God, that as we gather, we won't rely on music or we won't rely on preaching in order for you to move, God, but that we will rely on prayer for you to move, that we will know that you will come as we gather and do big things, God, that you will come into our communities, into our families, into our homes, into our workplaces, because we are praying and we are believing in big things, that you will be a light and that you will come and move in big ways, God. Help us to not only continue to be a people of prayer, but that we will actually increase that in our lives as a community, as Living Waters Church, that we will make this a big thing because we believe that you will do big things through prayer. And so we thank you for that, God. We thank you for your love and that we can come to you and know that you will show up and reveal yourself. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Have a great week. We hope to see you. If not, this week sometime, next Sunday, we'll be finishing up our series. Have a great day.